Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this lecture, which is sponsored by the London Hellenic Society and by the Hellenic Observatory at the LSE, which is part of the European Institute. There'll be a quiz afterwards on precisely how all this relates to each other. But my pleasure in a moment will be to welcome the mayor. But first of all, I'm going to introduce George Rhodopoulos from the London Hellenic Society, who will say a word or two about the relationship between the Hellenic Society and the school, and also about some other plans that the Society has got for the future. So I'll introduce George first and then the mayor just in a moment.
Your Grace, Your Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to the first annual lecture of the London Hellenic Society and the London School of Economics. For those of you who probably are not familiar with us, allow me to introduce ourselves. The London Hellenic Society was founded 35 years ago by London Greeks, most of them involved in the shipping profession. It was established with the purpose of promoting the cultural heritage of Greece in the United Kingdom, of strengthening the Anglo-Hellenic friendship and understanding, and to provide a forum for the expression of intellectual, artistic, and social pursuits. We are not a profit-making organization. We do not have any financial assistance or grants. We simply rely on the dedication and the support of our members, both within the shipping fraternity and among the scientific, professional, and academic world of this country. With their help and the kind cooperation of the London School of Economics, we managed today to realize an ambitious project to establish a series of valuable lectures from outstanding personalities. And we are delighted to have with us tonight, for our joint inaugural lecture, Her Excellency, the Mayor of Athens, Mrs. Dora Bakoyannis. Mrs. Bakoyannis comes from a distinguished Greek political family, having as a father an ex-prime minister and leader of a major political party. But impressively, she carved for herself a successful, highly respected, and well-highlighted political career in the hot foundry of the Greek politics. More importantly, though, Mrs. Bakoyannis presided over the radical transformation of Athens into a 21st century capital while preparing to host the 2004 Olympic Games. Considering the intensity and the tone of the news media coverage in this and other countries of the preparation stage, we feel that her presence and willingness to share her experiences of that tumultuous period will be of an invaluable help and guidance for other potential hopefuls to such a unique honor, which, allow me to say, with pride, was crowned as an unqualified success. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, rather I know, that you came here tonight to hear Mrs. Bakoyannis and not me, deservedly praising her with characteristic Greek brevity. I would like, therefore, to invite Sir Howard Davis to formally introduce to you our tonight's speaker. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, George. Well, I will also be very brief because we all know that you are all here in great numbers to listen to the mayor. I should also point out that there is an overspill in the new theatre across the road, and so we're watching through a video link, so I'll wave briefly to them. And I just wanted to say, by way of a very brief introduction, just how important to the school our links with Greece are. I've been down to Greece a couple of times since I've been director, and I was absolutely astonished to discover just the depth of the relationship between the LSE and Greece. Indeed, at the moment, the Greek economy is entirely in the hands of the LSE. So it had better do well. Because the new finance minister, George Alagoskoufis, is an alumnus, as is Nikos Garganas, the governor of the central bank. Indeed, it so happens, Madam Mayor, that on the day after my appointment here was announced, I actually flew to Athens for a meeting of financial regulators and was called on Nikos Garganas, whose appointment had also just recently been announced to the central bank. And he grasped me and said it was a great thrill, he said, because at last, he said, the central bank was back in the hands of the LSE. Because it turns out that within the economics department of the central bank, there are two factions. There is an MIT faction and an LSE faction. And Lucas Papademos was from the MIT faction. And Garganas, who had taken over when Papademos went to the central bank, European Central Bank, was from the LSE. So the Greek economy is entirely in the hands of alumni, which is no doubt why things are going so well. And here we have, of course, the Hellenic Observatory, which have a professor, Kevin Featherston, who is funded by a group of Greek friends of the school, who indeed recently have supplied some additional funding for more research to turn the Hellenic Observatory into indeed a centre for the study of politics and economics of Greece and the region. So we feel that we're very much involved with Greece, and we're thrilled by tonight's event. George has introduced you, Madam Mayor, extremely well. I might just add one point that always seems to appear, which he didn't mention, that you're the first woman mayor of Athens for 3,000 years, which is some amazing achievement. Amazing that women should have been kept out for 2,997, I should say. And of course, we all know about the outstanding success of the Olympics last year, and we're hoping that last academic year. We're in a university here. And we're hoping that just a little bit of the magic which led to that success might rub off on London as a result of this evening. So thank you very much for coming. What we're going to do is the mayor can talk to us for half an hour, perhaps, maybe slightly less, and then we'll take questions, and then there are drinks afterwards. Madam Mayor.
Your Grace. I'm a little bit taller. Your Grace, Your Excellency, the Greek Ambassador, Sir Howard, dear professors and students of the London School of Economics.
You have made your protest. If you could perhaps leave the stage and allow us to get on.
So let me welcome practically everybody who is here, even the people who disagree with the Olympic Games. We in Greece are very proud for inventing democracy, so we fully understand that you have a right to protest. So let me continue. I would like to welcome also the Greek students, but as I see here in front of me a lot of Chinese students, I fully understand that there is a great interest, mainly in China, for the upcoming Olympic Games, and I would like to wish Beijing every success. Ladies and gentlemen, I have committed myself to the Hellenic Observatory of the London School of Economics and to Professor Kevin Featherstone nearly a year ago to visit London and the Hellenic Observatory for a talk and discussion with the distinguished academics and their guests. I'm particularly pleased for Sir Howard's presence and for chairing this event. It is for us very important, and I don't need to elaborate the reasons that made my visit here earlier this year impossible. Athens, as you all know, has been on a frantic race to fulfill the obligations to the world and to stage what has been later acclaimed to be wonderful Olympic Games. Dear friends, as the Greeks say, all negative things have their positive side. And this delay of mine to fulfill my commitment to the LSE and the Hellenic Observatory offers me now the advantage of speaking from a position of experience rather than expectation. The question posed by Londoners in particular as they bid for the 2012 Olympic Games is what makes an Olympic city? Ladies and gentlemen, it is obvious that I'm not in a position to offer answers to this question at an international level. That would require a detailed study of all cities that have undertaken to organize Olympic Games in the last 108 years. Their reasons for bidding, their expectations from the Games, and their overall performance as Olympic cities after them. As we all know, there have been successes of various kinds at the organizational level, as well as a few failures. Yet what's been widely contested is the overall economic effect of the Games for the various cities that held them. At the organizational level, there have been, as I said, successes of different kinds. Athens, in 1896, for example, has managed to secure the revival of the Games and to give them enough impetus to continue to this day. Berlin, in 1936, has set the example, in my opinion, very unfortunate, according to anyway to my interpretation, of games conducted lavishly and spectacularly. Helsinki, in 52, has conducted smooth, efficient, well-accepted games of a nearly purely athletic nature. Unlike Helsinki, Moscow and Los Angeles in the 80s have been the most heavily politicized games of them all. And Sydney has managed to balance spectacle with organization and to keep politics safely away from intruding. There have, of course, been relative failures too. Such were the games in the 904, which necessitated the intervention of Athens in 906, which put back the Olympics on track. Nevertheless, these spectacular and important games, the Interim Olympiad, as they came to be called, were never accepted as a proper Olympiad. In the post-war years, we have seen the issue of the cost and of the long-term effect of an Olympiad for organizing cities assuming an ever greater importance. Evaluations here have been easier to make than at the purely athletic level. I will cite just two examples, Montreal and Barcelona. The Canadian city never managed to recover the cost of the games, and despite apparent improvements to the city fabric, it is considered no match to the overall success, athletic, financial, and urbanistic of Barcelona. Ladies and gentlemen, as I said earlier, it is difficult to define what makes an Olympic city, and definition should rather be left to the experts. Common sense seems to indicate, however, that a city's ambition to stage the Olympic Games is mostly conditioned by two criteria. First, faith in its capacity to hold them, and the ambition to secure, through the Games, a better position in the international constellation of cities and, through them, countries. The United States is the sole city-only case. It is one of those countries which Oscar Wilde has defined as being so big that they need to be referred to with their initials. In the United States, it's rather a matter of Georgia or California, Atlanta or Los Angeles, not so much as a union or as a whole. A third criterion has also been apparent in many post-war games, political ambition. But as this criterion is mostly served by a city's rise in the international constellation, and as it has not been always so paramount, as in the case of Moscow, for example, I would include it, grosso modo, to the second of my criteria. Ladies and gentlemen, Athens as a city and as the capital of Greece is a typical and atypical Olympic case at the same time. It is typical in that the 2004 Olympics reflected her growing confidence concerning both her capacity to face challenges and at her perception of herself as a major regional metropolis. She is also typical as far as the second criterion is concerned. Athens naturally desires to secure a better place in the international constellation of cities. It comes with that, the political ambitions are here too. Greece has entered the 21st century as the top society, economy, and political system in the Southeast Europe and beyond. The Games would obviously help to demonstrate just that. But Athens in Greece has also been atypical in a number of ways. First of all, the Greek economy, even though twice the size of that of six other Balkan countries combined, is with Portugal the weakest in the Europe of 15, and with a serious public debt problem, which the LSE will solve, as you heard. And the Games, for several decades now, have been conducted only by particularly affluent countries. The Greek state, to put it mildly, is not very famous for organization. And finally, Greece, with a population of just under 11 million people, is certainly not a big country. They were all exceptional situations for modern Olympics. But a second set of atypical criteria, peculiarly Greek this time, have managed to set the balance on the positive side and to overcome the difficulties resulting from the atypicalities I've just mentioned. The second set of criteria were unique in that they comprised only historical, emotional, and psychological factors. Such factors included the profound Greek belief in the Greekness of the Games, the desire of the Greeks to belly the stereotypes about them, and the ambition of Athens to demonstrate to the world that is today a city far more important than simply the capital of modern Greek state. These rather vague factors have nevertheless produced very concrete results. Athens in Greece, long advertised as inept and chaotic, have proven just the opposite. Believe me, I had a very difficult time in June 2004 coming over to London. I don't believe that anybody who took part in the press conferences believed me when I said Athens will be ready. They left the press conference and they said the mayor thinks she believes Athens will be ready. But Athens met the challenge of the Olympic Games not simply efficiently, but remarkably well. They reversed all stereotypes about them. as well as the world belief that the vast endeavor, which is today the Olympic Games, can only be undertaken by the rich and mighty. They have managed something even more remarkable, to change Greeks' perception about themselves. All in all, the Athens Olympic Games have been a remarkable achievement on all counts, and in addition, they have managed to restore the faith of many medium and small-sized nations to the Olympic ideals. Ladies and gentlemen, after the Games, a different set of questions arise. The achievement is unquestioned, but what about the long-term economic effect of the Olympics? What about the sustainability of the Athens urban improvements? What about the future of venues and the overall effect of the Games on the city's economy and tourist industry? My answer to these questions cannot and should not be given at this stage. These are questions, the answer to which must wait for at least 10 years. But there are several things, positive as well as negative, that we can take into consideration right away, things that may indicate the nature of answers to come. There is first the unquestionable improvement of Athens on many counts. New or upgraded transport systems, such as the two recently constructed metro lines and their extensions to the airport and elsewhere. The modernization of the old metro line and the introduction of a suburban railway system and of the new tramway link to the coastal front of the city. A state-of-the-art new airport and at least 90 kilometers of modern urban motorways which help decongest the city. 39 magnificent athletic venues capable of attracting various sectoral championships in the future. 60 top-class hotels radically upgraded and new ones constructed. A remarkable reshaping of the city's historic center with the construction of 70 pedestrian causeways and of 4.7 kilometers long archaeological pedestrian route right in the heart of Athens. This walkway is the only one of such a size and nature in the world. Add to this a magnificent concert hall, new or upgraded museums. And last but not least, a largely refurbished city. More than 2,000 facades were uplifted, and more than 250 kilometers of roads, and as many pavements, now disabled-friendly, were reconstructed. Thus, you have a huge urban capital at hand, a capital capable of bringing many financial returns in the future. An asset that I consider very important is the human capital used in the Games, which produced the best of impression. Finally, one must consider Greece's new role as a major investor in all Balkan countries and the huge Greek merchant marine. All this seemed to point at a positive long-term effect of the Olympic Games for Athens and for Greece in general. But the picture is, of course, not altogether rosy. The actual state of the Greek economy and the mounting public debt, labor market rigidities and the complicated nature of Greek bureaucracy, a national mentality not prone to change and sacrifice, and an extended European Union with obligations to many new members. All these seem to indicate that Greece has a long way to go before it manages unquestionably to turn the Olympic success into permanent long-term benefits. I'm happy to say that the new Greek government is currently introducing a number of new bills in Parliament in order to tackle most of the above negative factors. There are people now in Greece responsible for each venue. They make their whole planning so that in a few months we will know which of these venues can be still used in the future, which of these venues have to go away, and which of these venues will be used for different purposes. Athens' long-term success, as both as a tourist and investment center, largely depends not only on its own attractions, but also on the actions and the omissions of the Greek government. This is why, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that the final answer to the question whether my city will ultimately benefit from its successes in the Olympic Games must remain an open one. Dear friends, I have pointed out some of the characteristics that define an Olympic city, leaving a more detailed explanation to the experts. I have described what are the main characteristics and ambitions that Athens shares with the Olympic cities. I have indicated the peculiarities and even the uniqueness of the Athenian case, the predominance that is of historic and psychological factors in the case of the Greek capital. And finally, I have briefly cited both the positive and the negative aspects of the present Greek situation, aspects that might help one try finding an answer to the final and most important question of all. Will Athens and the whole of Greece be the ultimate victors in, say, 10 years? And I have concluded that it must logically remain an open question. But the Olympic Games themselves were an open question too. Yet, when my personal opinion was asked, my answer always was, we are going to surprise the world. The Games came out to be a tremendous success. Thank you.
Thank you very much for those remarks, which have given us a terrific framework for thinking about the issues of running an Olympics in a major city like Athens. I'm going to throw it straight open to the audience. It's not usually a problem finding questions in an LSE audience, so I hope people won't let me down this time. When you do ask your question, perhaps you could wait for a microphone, which will come to you, and give your name and origin, if you like, and also, if you won a medal at the recent Olympics, which colour it was. Who would like to start? Yeah, up there.
Hello there. My name's Adrian Basiri. I'm a first-year student with origins from Cyprus and Macedonia. I would like to ask you, is there not a danger that after the recent success of the Athens Olympics, that this honeymoon period that we're in might be short-lived and that the view of the world just might return to the previous chaotic and disorganized view that they've always had of Greece before the Games?
Well, that's a challenge. We started having to prove to the world that we have radically changed, that Athens has changed, and that Greece has changed. Nobody believed us at the beginning. We were late starters. Sometimes there was even a reason for people to be very critical of us. But we made it. I think we really changed. But the Greeks loved it. Even my Athenians loved it, which was not very sure at the beginning. But Athens is a changed city because the people wanted it to change. The people participated. The Athenians participated in every effort. So yes, we still have traffic problems. We'll deal with them as good as any old and antique city can. But I believe that we will not go back to the chaotic image which we had. And we will not let the people down who will probably come in masses next year to make sure that what they saw on television is also a reality. And I hope that it will work.
One question from a kind of governance perspective, if you like. That, what advice would you give to a mayor in terms of how much direct control it's appropriate for the mayor to take in the lead up to the Olympics? I mean, were you directly in control? Were you holding meetings every morning and beating engineers around the head? I mean, what kind of structure did you establish of control in those, what must have been, frankly, very nervous months leading up to...
Oh, very nervous months. And it was very difficult because we had 2 years. 2 years for the city of Athens. 7 years for the Olympics, but 2 years for the city. Practically, the Olympic preparations started in the city of Athens at about 1.5 years ago, before the Games. So it was very difficult. I had the total control of the city, not of the organization of the Games. That was the organization committee which was responsible for the Games. But for us, the biggest challenge we faced in Athens was that this city was the first city after September 11th to organize Olympic Games. That had two very bad results. First, the very high cost of security. We paid $1,500,000 out of the Greek taxpayers' money. I want to make that clear because sometimes people think the IOC participated in that. They didn't. It was just Greek money. We didn't count to pay so much money, of course, because when we asked for the Games, September 11th did not happen. So we thought that we could have a security budget which would be approximately as big as the security budget in Sydney. That was the first. The second is that, okay, we had a wonderful security system. It worked. It meant high technological equipment. It meant cameras around the city. It was expensive, efficient, but it could result to exactly the contrary of what we really wanted, because we wanted a city partying the Games. We wanted a happy city. We wanted a city in a festive atmosphere. We wanted a city which would send around the world the message of peace, participation, solidarity. And our challenge was to keep the balance between the atmosphere of the city with the message and, on the other side, the security. That was the reason why Athens decided to have 650 cultural events through 15 days through the whole city. We did not make any very big events because the crowd management should be safe. But we had the whole city partying, and it worked. It worked very well. We didn't have any problems. It was incredible that I don't know how to call it in English, thieves, pickpockets, etc., even they disappeared. I think it was the solidarity of the Greek pickpockets. But it worked, and the people left Athens, and they were very happy.
Who's next? Yes, second row. Question from China, maybe.
Yes, I did indeed. Good evening. My name is Mona. I'm doing a master's degree in real estate and finance. Currently, I'm working on this project about urban regeneration. And I got this one question. I have observing that in the past 20 years, all those cities, whether hosting the Olympic Games, they're trying to compete with each other and coming out the most creative and innovative ideas about the stadiums and all these the constructions and stuff. But Athens did a great job. The ceremony and the stadium was spectacular. But don't you think that put pressures on the city, like in the future, to come out with a more extravagant, more trying to get more innovative and more, expensive stadiums, which rather having little less post-use? Because for the stadium, the post-use can be quite limited. What would you think?
Well, you're asking the mayor. Mayors think only about their cities and much less about the stadiums which are around the cities. For in Greece, we had the stadium already. We paid a lot for the ceiling of the stadium, the Kalatrava roof, which is called. It was expensive, but in my opinion, it was a good idea because it left an architectural brand on this stadium and to the Games. But our money, the money of the city, was spent only in Athens. which means all what I told you before, from the facades to the pedestrian areas, to the complete lifting of the city, the upgrading of neighborhoods, etc., which means that this is, in my opinion, money well spent. Like in Beijing, they will start remaking whole neighborhoods. And if they do it in, you know, showing also the old putongs, etc., which I believe the mayor will do, it will be a great idea for Beijing also.
Yes, man with the blue shirt and then a red bull over after.
Thank you. Saxe Mandelaris, I'm an Athenian and I'm a lecturer at Imperial College London. What I would like to ask you...
I have to get his vote.
And I was there and I enjoyed it tremendously. It was the game of the cultural aspect that I really enjoyed. And what I want to ask you is, what are the plans that you have as a mayor of Athens for promoting the culture that will attract many more people coming to Athens, and even, why not, the return of the Parthenon marbles?
Well, what we will do, because it was such a tremendous success, we will continue the way we did during the Olympic Games for next summer, the summer 2005. It was a big success. People liked it. There are a lot of people around the world also who are interested in coming over to Athens and show the work there. And we will, maybe not so big because it's very expensive, but we will continue on this line. The Parthenon marbles is a different story, but I still will want to say my opinion. We Greeks are fully aware that the Acropolis and the Parthenon do not belong to Greece. They are a world heritage, a cultural world heritage. In China, they told me that when they opened the architectural book on the first year of architecture when they study in China, you can see the Acropolis on it. And I believe that this Acropolis should not be shown to the world mutilated. I was a minister of culture. It took me years to understand what the Parthenon marbles really are. And I fully understood it only when people made the graphics and in the computer you could see what was in the British Museum and what was in Athens. And when they put that in a computer together, I was able to understand what the Parthenon marbles are. Well, it's a pity that today 75% of the British people want the marbles to go back to Athens, and that still the British Museum does not agree. We proposed not to own the marbles. We don't want to have legal problems and then go to courts. What Greece proposed was to have a joint exposition of the Parthenon marbles in Athens from the Acropolis and the British Museum together. And we also proposed to give back, to give to the British Museum enough ancient Greek culture objects so that they can put them in the amphitheater.
I'm a postgraduate student at NSC, originally from Turkey, but I've grown up in London.
Don't laugh. We love our neighbors.
I want to ask, as mayor, you made a very good point before that you are not just involved in the Olympics, you're involved in Athens overall. Do you believe you could have spent the money as mayor, I need an honest answer here, in any other way that would benefit Athens more than it did? By investing in the Olympics?
My money? No. Because I was very very careful in the spending of the Athenians' money. So everything we did was permanent, long-term effective, and in all the neighborhoods of Athens. It was not only for the center. But honestly, on the state level, there is a lot of money spent, which I fully understand the argument that it might be better spent in other ways. So if you have to balance out the Olympic game, the idea of the Olympic Games, do you want it or not? You must really be sure that the long-term effects will be good enough to balance out this kind of money, which is only money spent for 15 days. So that's a decision politicians and societies have to make. It is not an easy decision today to ask for the Olympics. It's very expensive. It poses a lot of problems. It's a great decision. So you have, you know, to be very careful with it.
I'm from mainland China. I'm an LSC student, a major in urbanization and development. My question is, what kind of impact do you suppose that can of Olympic Games bring to Greece people, both ecologically, socially and ecologically?
Ecologically?
Environmental.
Environmental.
Yeah, yeah. And if you have any good or bad, both.
Yeah. Sociologically, I told you a little bit before when I started speaking, there was a very big impact in Greece, starting by our self-confidence. We Greeks have a very good sport. We always like to speak bad about us. You know, it's, when you find five Greeks together, they probably start shouting at Greece. They love it. But that's why before the games there were a lot of people who said, what are we going to do? We are going to, people will think bad about us, we will never be ready, we will never make it. You know, and there was also a lot of it in the press. But after that, when they saw the results, when they took part in the effort, which was very important, in Greece, we believed we didn't have any volunteers tradition. And we didn't. It's a very Anglo-Saxon tradition. Our volunteerism was always a family volunteerism. Families come in, they save everybody, but on a very small family level, not on as a society. And then we managed to have great volunteers. And we had great numbers, and we had great quality of volunteers. And even the city of Athens started a volunteers group, which no Olympic city has ever done. We had 3,500 people speaking all the languages, dressed up with a yellow T-shirt, with a "May I help you?" 8 hours under the sun, trying to help everybody who came over to Greece, to Athens. And the important thing was is also our emigrants took part in that program. So we had Syrians, we had Nigerians, we had all kind of emigrants, Chinese, who came up and they were volunteers for the city of Athens. So that was a very important for the self-esteem of the city. Ecologically, Greece has a long way to go to really be effective in the protection of the environment. I'm absolutely not proud of what this country has done with the environment. The only good thing about the Olympics is that they started understanding what recycling means. But I told you we have a long way to go. And me as a mayor, I'm fighting very hard on that. Sometimes very much alone. I'm not sure. We started by zero. You know, practically we are starting now. And for a European country, it's unacceptable.
There's another one. Yes,
Καλησπέρα, κύριε Μπακογιάννη. Good evening, everyone. Okay. I'm a postgraduate student in law here in LSE. I come from Athens. Just to add to the words of Ms. Pagoyani, I was a volunteer like that in Athens. I wore those yellow T-shirts, and I was hosting, like Ms. Pagoyani said, all of these guests. And just a question that everyone asked us, Mrs. Pagoyani, everyone when I was a part of this program. Do you really think about continuing this program, not only during the Olympic Games, but really was such a success? We had so much fun doing it. And I was really wondering about that. Thank you.
We already continued with the program. You know, sometimes it's worth to put high targets, you know, high. At the beginning, everybody told us it would not be possible in Athens, but it was possible in Athens, and now we are continuing with very concrete neighborhood volunteerism on different areas and with different people. And the interest is there. I mean, they are warmed up by the games, and they take part in the other programs the city puts up. And I hope that it will continue also in the future.
It could be an interesting experiment if you were to wear your yellow T-shirt at the LSE with "May I Help You?" to see.
Good evening, Madam Pagoyanis. First of all, I'd like to, on behalf of all the guys here from China, because I'm from Beijing, which is the next hosting city. Thank you. Thank you. Well, thank you for your beautiful wish for Beijing, for the upcoming success, which we really look forward to. And I think people of Greece have done a very good job, which is very impressive, just like a very popular TV series in China, which have made Greece like most popular tourist spots in Chinese people now. And you might be interested in knowing that Chinese students and Greek students have become the two largest groups in our program. My program is Master of Science in Accounting and Finance. So altogether, the two groups have taken about 50% of the whole program. Okay, so here comes the question is, unfortunately, we have seen on the TV screen that is, although people have done a lot, as you have just mentioned, there was a large vacancy. I mean, we have seen a lot of vacant seats in the stadiums. So would you think it's it might be a better idea that to cut down on the price so that we can make the tickets more available to common people, even if for a small country like Greece, so that it might be better or positively affect the
yes.
image of the city?
Unfortunately for us, that was not possible because the tickets were sold. So at the beginning, Greece faced the problems that, as you know, the Olympic Games work a lot with sponsors. So sponsors buy tickets, which means big firms like Coca-Cola, etc. And they bring people from around the world, when they are sponsors, to the games. So what happened in Athens was that the ticket sales were very good. The money came in. The sponsors had bought the tickets, but they didn't bring the people. And they didn't bring the people because the atmosphere was very bad. A lot of people were really frightened off, and they didn't come. So we faced a very difficult touristic month during the games. Practically, we had empty, not only empty seats, but which were sold, so we could not resell them, but also empty rooms in the hotels. So it is very difficult to fight against this atmosphere. Because wherever you went, you heard security problems with the games. The games will be attacked. They will be blown up. Biological, or whatever kind of terrorist attacks. So we had to prove first to the world that we were able to secure the games. So then the next 15 days, they came. So the 15 days later were much better, and of course, touristically, September, October were great. But July and August, at the beginning of August, were two very difficult months for us. That was the reason why the stadiums were full. The Greeks went. They had the cheaper tickets. They were up. The expensive tickets were the sponsors. The Greek flag.
It's the Greek flag. Madam Mayor, we are very pleased to see you in this city.
Thank you, Mr.
We want to welcome you. My name is Lemos, a very ordinary member of the Greek shipping community of London. I would like to ask you a question. After the success, the tremendous success of the Olympics in Athens, has there been a thought or a discussion for the future Olympics to take place in their place of origin? That's Greece.
A serious discussion, no. There have been some very nice articles in some newspapers, mainly in the newspapers who made our life difficult before the games, in an apologizing character, and they proposed that. But I don't think that the IOC seriously would consider one country for the games. And they believe that having different countries around the world doing the games and different cities, they promote the Olympic spirit, they gain also money, and they give the opportunity to other cities to develop in preparing for the games. So I don't think that today there is any serious discussion about that.
That could destroy the friendly relationship between the Greek and Chinese students.
Thank you. My name is Ben. I'm from mainland China again. Always too many Chinese people around.
Well, there are many Greeks around too.
Yeah, of course. you've mentioned about the cultural heritage in Athens in the previous questions. And I heard my parents saying that Beijing is reconstructing quite a large part of the city, and tragically including removing some historical buildings and some sites that have historical values in a sense of cultural heritage. And we know that Athens and Beijing are both cities that existed for over 1,000 years. And so did Athens in 2004 encounter the similar problem of reconstruction? So
you have a very concrete problem in Beijing, which is called the problem I spoke about before, which is the Putong area. What are you going to do with the Putong area? Because the rest, you will also keep exactly as it was. So there is a big discussion, and I had also a long discussion with your mayor about that. How much do you keep from this Putong area and remake it so that it is of touristic interest, and how much you develop for the people to be able to, you know, to move in. I don't know. I'm going back in February. I hope that the decision which is made is a decision which will keep as much as the Putongs as possible, because it will be important for Beijing. And it's important also for the history of this city and of this country. But no, in Athens, we never face this kind of problems, for the very simple reason because they are always solved by the archaeological committee, by the Ministry of Culture. You can never build anything in Athens if you don't have the permission of the Ministry of Culture and of the archaeologists. So that makes our life very difficult, very often. But it really also is the main reason why antiquities are still preserved.
We'll take a couple more. I think I'm trying to be fair to different parts of the room. A man in I'm not quite sure what colour that shirt is.
Looking slightly ahead, which city do you think should host the 2012 Games?
I'm a too old politician to answer that question.
It was worth a try. Well, there was someone down here. Yeah.
Thank you. Journalist from China. May I ask you, you know, the Games is for essence of Greece, because I just want to know, can only essence benefit from the Games, or can the whole country benefit from the Games?
Well, that's a small difference we have with China. We are a little bit smaller than China. So that means that practically in Athens, the Athens Games were, of course, a benefit for a whole Greece. First, because we are smaller, as I said, and then because there was something which was done in Greece, which was the first time it was done. It may be of interest for England, for the UK, or for France. Part of the venues and part of the events we spread around Greece, which means that we had in the Peloponnese, we had in Crete, we had in North Greece, etc. And that was good because, people also in the periphery of Greece were not very happy with the money which was spent in Athens. So having also their part in the games, they felt much better. But, of course, in big countries like yours, there we are speaking about Beijing.
Yes. We haven't had anybody with a beard yet.
Like the Parthenon marbles, I am a Greek living temporarily in England. And my question, Madam Mayor, is this. On retrospect, do you think that if there was better planning 4, 5, 6 years ago, the overspend for the Olympic Games would have been a little bit less? Thank you.
Yes. Yes. That's what I said also to the mayors who came and visited us in Athens, practically the mayors who were bidding for the Games. If I could give an advice, it was quite simple. You need your 7 years. No, that's what I mean. We were late starters, we paid the price. It's very clear. And you have to have an organization, an organization which from the first to the last day is really there. So that's where the two Greek mistakes. It took us a long while, and it cost us much more. So we have practically our own selves to blame for part of the cost, and of course the other reasons for the other part. Result, we need a very good LSE professor.
We'll take just a couple more, I think, because we're pushing the mayor to answer end of the question. I think we'll take one in the right near the back there.
Thank you. My name is Sotiria Theodoropoulou. I'm from Athens, and I'm a research student at the LSE. I would like to persist a bit on the issue of the environmental consequences of the Olympics for Athens. I'm not sure whether you can give us a balance already of whether it was a positive or a negative one overall. But even if this question, too, is still open, are there any specific plans from the municipal authority or in coordination with the Ministry of Environment to capitalize on any positive effects that the Olympics have had already in the city through the new trams, trains, and all that? and to alleviate any detrimental effects that have occurred so far? Thank you.
Well, the infrastructure which we got, which honestly you cannot say if it, they were only for the Olympic Games. I mean, it's an infrastructure we needed anyway. But the expansion of the metro, the tramway, the new transport system is, of course, environmentally very important. First, because we hope that working all together, we will get one to two Athenians going with public transport by the end of these 3 years. And we are working on that, practically not making the life as difficult as in London for a car, but as close as we can get to that. So that is one goal. And for the environment, this is very important. And so if you do, if you count that to the Olympic Games or not, this is another question. And the other is, we were late with the planting, not in Athens. In Athens, we planted more than we have programmed. But around Athens, we were very late. And some of the venues had practically only decorational planting, which is absolutely of no use, which means that we have to work on that and to do the proper job after the games if we really want to have the results we need to. We need a lot of planting in Greece.
Thank you. We're going to take one last question. The woman with diamonds on in the middle. Not real ones, I
My name is Olga Kolokitha. I come from Hania. I'm a PhD student in arts policy and the project manager of the European Opera Center. And my question is related to culture. Given that there has been a very positive effect of the cultural events before, during, and after the games, do you think there's going to be any long-term effects in the area of culture, but in areas other than the cultural heritage one?
Well, that was also our second big challenge. Everybody knows that Athens has a lot of ancient culture and comes to visit us for that. So the city decided to make exactly the different policy and to work with contemporary Greek art in all fields. So at the beginning, when we made a very big exhibition, I don't know if you saw it, in Athens, in this promenade, which is the archaeological promenade, we had 85 sculptures of modern Greek sculptures. So the archaeological committee was shocked, some people were shocked, some people liked it. The result was that the Athenians loved it. And they went through it, and they liked it very much. So it was a success. We did the same thing with different kinds of art. I strongly believe that in Greece there is a very big artistic human capital, which should have the chance to show what they can produce. And for years, they were always put in the shadow of our ancient culture, but that's okay. But we have to work also on our contemporary art, and that's what at least the city policies is.
Thank you. I think we ought to stop at this point, because we have pressed the mayor to answer questions for 45 minutes almost. There are one or two left, that's always the way, but I think you can answer those with a glass of wine in your hand. In the atrium. I must say two thoughts before I formally thank you. One is that for the British in the audience, it's quite humbling to think that we have the mayor of Athens here with a lot of Greek students answering questions in English in London. And I just was struggling with the notion of Ken Livingstone in Athens answering...
answering questions in Greek from itinerant British students, and I think maybe Europe still has a little bit further to go before that happens. The other thought I did have, though, which is also linked to Ken Livingstone, is that you produced an imaginative notion about exchanging other Greek artifacts for those that we have here, and it seemed to me that a better proposition would be if we could, for the next 12 months, borrow you in London. To run the British Olympic bid, and if you could guarantee success, we may be content to lose our marbles. But thank you very much for coming. It's been a terrific event for us. As you can see from the questions, there is huge interest here in the British community, in the Greek community, and of course, importantly, in the Chinese community. And this has saved you another trip to Beijing because you've answered all their questions as well. We're hugely flattered that you should come to recognize the work of the Hellenic Observatory and the LSE's connection with Greece. And thank you very much. And we are all invited, courtesy of the London Hellenic Society, to a drink in the atrium, which is just across that way. But I think that some of the Greek students wanted to do something. Yes, there it is.